In East Africa, the country of Tanzania wants to grow more food, and it wants to dramatically increase the use of irrigation to do it. The government there plans to quadruple the amount of irrigated land over the next 4 years to almost 2.5 million acres. But irrigation has had some unintended consequences in Tanzania. For months, there were rolling electricity blackouts after water was diverted from hydroelectric plants to fields to grow rice. NPR's Jason Bobian has the second part of his series on agriculture in Africa.
Tanzania has lots of water. It's bordered to the west by Lake Tanganyika. To the south, there's Lake Malawi and the Rovuma River, which marks the border with Mozambique. To the northwest, Africa's largest lake, Lake Victoria, divides Tanzania from Uganda. Plus, Tanzania lies just below the equator, and there's usually plenty of rainfall. So it doesn't seem like a place that would be fighting over water. But it is. Farmers want more water to grow rice and other crops year-round. Cattle herders need it for their pastures and for their thirsty animals. The electricity grid demands it to power its hydroelectric dams. But Tanzania's water is already overstretched, and rivers that used to run all year have started to dry up. In 2003, the World Bank funded the construction of an irrigation scheme on the Mapogoro River in the highlands of southwestern Tanzania. The set of cement locks and lined canals replaced a series of traditional earthen irrigation ditches that had been used to draw water out of the river for decades. Forty-five-year-old Delfina Mwilo says before the irrigation scheme was built, she was getting 25 to 30 bags of rice per acre. Now, under the so-called improved scheme, she says she gets 15 bags per acre if she's lucky. I don't know why this is happening, she says, but it's just not enough water that's coming down the canals. Under the old scheme, Wilo's rice paddies got far more water than they do now because she was close to the river. The new system moves the water further away and allows other farmers to plant rice in places where they never could have before. But to get this water into the new fields, the system at times diverts the entire flow of the Mapogoro River into the irrigation canals. Willie Maravanda is the government's top water official for the Rufiji Basin, which includes the Mapogoro River. With rain pounding down on his office, Maravanda says conflicts over water have been increasing in Tanzania, particularly between farmers and hydroelectricity producers.
The Rufiji Basin is the largest producer of electricity in our country. So, and very unfortunately, the electricity plants are downstream the irrigation schemes. So they normally complain that water has been overused, excessively used upstream by irrigation or other users.
One of those hydro plants has been shut down for most of 2006 because its reservoirs run dry. The other one has been generating far below capacity. These two dams normally produce 70% of Tanzania's electricity. As a result, the country's been hit with crippling power outages. Maravanda says the hydro reservoirs have never been as low as they were earlier this year. Despite these problems, the government is pushing forward with a plan to quadruple the amount of irrigated land in the country over the next 4 years. The irrigation expansion plan is part of Tanzania's official poverty reduction strategy. More than three-quarters of Tanzanians work in agriculture, most as subsistence farmers. The government hopes that with more water, these extremely poor farmers can grow more crops and earn a bit more money. There's been little debate, however, about what effect dramatically increasing irrigation could have on the country's electricity crisis. The Great Ruaha River is one of the waterways that's been most dramatically affected by recent changes in Tanzanian agriculture. The Great Ruaha used to slow down in the dry season, but then a 75,000-acre irrigated rice project was built in the upper reaches of its catchment area.
And in 1993, it stopped for the first time, and it has stopped flowing every dry season since and for increasingly long periods of time every year.
Peter Copalillo with the Wildlife Conservation Society runs a research station on the banks of the Great Ruaha. It's the rainy season now, and the river is heavily laden with silt, giving the water a reddish-brown hue. Along with the water, yellow and black weavers have returned. They dart in and out of the elephant grass on the opposite bank as they construct coconut-sized nests. Cocalillo points across the water to a special kind of palm tree with fruit that takes 2 years to mature.
They're a critical food resource for all sorts of species. During the dry season, it's really difficult to find an intact fruit on the ground. And the reason is because baboons go up there, elephants will put their head against the tree and bang, 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 and shake the tree. You'll hear it at night, and they're shaking the tree to get the fruits to fall down. And those palms have to grow right here on the alluvial plain, right next to the river where there's good groundwater.
Kopalilo says this entire ecosystem is being threatened by the drying up of the Great Roaja River. Three industrial rice irrigation projects were built upstream in the late 1980s. These projects, like the one in Mapagoro, were also funded by large international development agencies. The goal was to allow small farmers to grow rice during the dry season so that the rice would hit the market when prices are 5 to 6 times higher than at the normal harvest time. The problem, Kopalilo says, wasn't the rice schemes as they were planned, but rather what they've become. Soon after the irrigation projects were built, other farmers started tapping into the industrial canals and diverting water to tens of thousands of additional acres of fields.
What they do is they'll dig into the return canal from the original rice scheme, and then they'll go and nag the farm manager and say, could you please leave the water on so that we can take water? But of course, a lot of these, the unsanctioned, the illegal fields, they're not level. So what it means is you can't flood it once. You have to keep water flowing into it because you keep losing it all along.
Other factors besides the irrigated rice projects have contributed to the drying of the Roaja. Livestock herders have started grazing their cattle, goats, and sheep in a swamp that used to act as a sponge, absorbing water during the long rains and releasing it slowly back into the river during the dry season. But stripped of vegetation, the swamp now just lets the rainwater rush through, like a toilet bowl, Kopalilo says. Kopalilo, however, says the main culprit is the irrigation schemes, which were designed primarily to allow farmers to sell rice when the price is at its peak.
The irony, the frustrating part about it is, rather than building an enormous industrial irrigation project, the same could have been accomplished by building a warehouse and helping people organize into a cooperative that would store the rice and sell it out of season.
Kopalilo and the Wildlife Conservation Society are now trying to do just that. Farmers who join the cooperative will have to agree to monitor the use of water and return 25% of the water that goes into their fields back into the river. In exchange, farmers will get significantly higher prices for their crop. And if the water doesn't get diverted elsewhere, the Great Roaja could start flowing again year-round. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
Catastrophic soil erosion is also making agriculture in Tanzania difficult. You can hear about that in the first part of Jason Beaubien's series at npr.org.